And thank you for Neil and everybody giving me the opportunity. Neil texted me and said, when can you speak again? And he gave me a list of dates. And I said, I'll speak February 2nd. And he responded, what other dates? And I'm like, okay. So really putting the pressure on me, but that's a good thing. And challenged me to get into the Word more. We'll look at, again, if you'll turn just briefly for two verses in Matthew chapter 7. Piggybacking off of and continuing on my message from last time I spoke. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for the wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in there. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And so we're looking at the two gates, two roads, broad road and the narrow road. And like I said in my first message, that's where the similarities end. The major difference is what that destination is. The broad road has many traveling on it and ends in destruction, and the narrow road ends in life. I broke it up into six lanes, so to speak, all with starting with P's to kind of give us an outline. I trust everyone in this room is on the narrow road, and if you're not, you still have time to make your choice. I have, in this past year, we had from my high school class of 2019. We've had three of my classmates pass away. It's kind of like weird to think about. I haven't been out of high school that long, and I've already had three of my classmates pass away. And I don't believe that they were saved at all. I could be wrong. Hopefully they were saved maybe after high school. But in high school, I knew they were not saved. And two of them I believe to be suicide. And two of them I believe, or two of them were just in the last 2 months, 3 months, I believe. And so there's still time to make a choice, and there's still time for us to share the gospel with those around us in our day-to-day lives. Like Grammy shared in her prayer request, put somebody in front of me today that you want me to speak to, and that's a great thing to pray every morning, and it's a good challenge to me even. And so the 6 points that we have to look at is prosperity, we looked at last time, pleasure, popularity, philosophy, pride, and power. And so those are the six, and I'm doing a message on each of those. So for prosperity, and normally I like to print this so I don't have to have my laptop, but with all the craziness of my wrestling tournament yesterday, I didn't get an opportunity to print it, and I was still working on it. And I was telling Lisa, well, it's not a finished product till I'm up here speaking it, because the Lord can always work on my heart and change as to what I'm going to say. But a recap of prosperity is, and I think is very true, is we want a cushy life, laid back and easy. We want to accumulate things and money, and this is a very sin against the reason we were created. And we looked at Job's life, and that was on prosperity. All of them start with P, as I talked about before, today's P is pleasure. And piggybacking off of what I said about my three classmates, I just wanted to point this out, because we never know when our time is. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed to be here even tonight. And if we look at Luke 23, and you don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but just the last two verses there, in Luke 23, verses 42 and 43, let me get there. So Luke 23 and verses 42 and 43. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And then Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And so just, he's in his last moments of life, and he makes that decision to get off of the broad road and to get onto the narrow road and be with our Savior in paradise right there at the end of his life. And I think that goes along great with the message too, because he didn't have very long left in his life, but yet he still made that decision to get onto the narrow road. And so today's P, as I stated, is pleasure. There's nothing wrong with pleasure, but when that pleasure crosses the line of God's commandment and hurts God and others so we can feel good and get what we want and serve others, serve self rather than others, this is a sin. On the broad road today, the world tells us that pleasure and self-pleasure and doing what seems right in our own eyes is great, right? And so I have two topics to talk about today with pleasure. And the first one is sexual pleasure, and it is not sinful. God created us to enjoy it within the boundaries of marriage between one man and one woman. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and that and we'll look at this briefly. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And then I'm going to read through to verse 9. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every man have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due beloveds, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath no power over her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power over his body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan can tempt you not for your inconsistency. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment, for I would that all men were even as myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and the widows, it is good for them that they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And in verse 2 of chapter 7, we see that we should have a wife. Hold on. It is good to be married and to avoid fornication, to be married to one wife. I'm getting tripped up. That's embarrassing. This was the part I was not looking forward to. Was talking about was this part. The second part of my message, I'm pretty confident in, but it's okay. The Lord will help me through it. But the world will tell you that it's fine to have multiple partners or to not marry or all these things, and you even hear people say all the time, like, you test drive a car, don't you? And I'm sure you guys know the rest of that statement, but the world's view of these things is it all revolves around pleasure, and it's all about yourself and how you can get what you want, and then in verse 3 we see that the husband and wives are to love each other. And if you continue on in this chapter and through 10 through verse 10 and on down, it talks about divorce and things of that matter. And a lot of times in our society too, you'll hear a lot, my needs weren't being met, so divorce a lot of times nowadays, the statistics for that are not good. I probably should have looked that up to put it in here, but the statistics on the divorce rate, I am sure in our country is terrible, and it's sad, and it tears apart marriages, and then affects the children too, and so that's but it all comes back down to being selfish ultimately, and the pleasure there as well. And then also with pleasure, we look at homosexuality, and that's another way on the broad road that pleasure is running rampant in our country today. And in Romans, let's see, Romans chapter 1 and verse 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And so we see today a lot of homosexuality in our world today, also, and I see it in the school system as well. I had a student was talking to Coach Weddle, and she said, "Well, my," they were talking about something, and she was saying, "Well, his boyfriend is in," or how did it go? Basically, it was a guy in my class that identified as a girl. And she, and Coach Wells was like, "Well, that can't be possible because he's in Coach Garrison's class. He's a boy. He's in the locker room. He's a boy." But we see that in our society of how wicked our world is turning, that they're changing their gender. They're doing all these things that are terrible. And as believers, we have a mission on the narrow road to shine bright and be bold on the narrow road for them, but we also have to love them as well. Love the sinner, but hate the sin, right? And so another illustration that I was going to pull out of Scripture from for pleasure, and I think this is a great illustration in Solomon's life, 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. First Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonites, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord had said unto the children of Israel, "Ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods." Solomon clave unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of Zidonis, and after Milcom, and the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and Melech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. I mean, I'll just stop there. We see that he was chasing pleasure, and specifically, as I stated above, sexual pleasure too, which turned his heart away from the Lord. And we see that his heart, as it said, was not like his father David. And we see that David made a lot of mistakes in his life as well also, but David knew how to repent, and David had a heart after the Lord. And so we see concerning pleasure, when it is in reference to sexual things, that it's to be within marriage, and the God created it, and so it is a good thing, but it is to be within marriage. And a lot of these P's are blend together, and like I said, it's a highway, it's the broad road. All the P's that I mentioned, to make sure that I don't miss any, prosperity, pleasure, popularity, philosophy, pride, and power, all of those, on the broad road, there's many things that the broad road has to offer, and try to trick and deceit those that are on the broad road, and try to give them many things to distract them from the Lord. And so a lot of these points will sound very similar, like prosperity and pleasure. There's a lot of similarities there, and it's like you're merging lanes on an interstate, right? You can go in between the three lanes. So there's a lot of overlap in these messages that I'll be speaking on, even from the last one. I'm sure you will see some. But as I stated with Luke 23, you have, just like on the interstate, you have an off-ramp. You have a choice to get off and go to the narrow road, and it's never too late. As I stated with in Luke 23, it was at the end of his life, and he still made the correct decision. And so as believers on the narrow road, it is our job to share the gospel with them. And I mentioned my three classmates that have all died within this past year, two of them most recent within 2 or 3 months. And I mentioned that it's by suicide, not to say that they're not believers, but they were very much on the broad road in high school. They did many drugs, had many relations with girls at our high school, and just did whatever, anything they wanted. They sold drugs, made a lot of money, so they did all these things, and so it's, to me, I wish I would have had, you know, another opportunity to share the gospel with them, but you know, like Elizabeth said, our paths just hadn't crossed since really 2019. We have that opportunity. We have that calling from the Lord to share the gospel with them. And then, so I'm going to switch gears to the second half of my message. So if anybody has any questions or anything to say on that, I'll open that up at the end as well. But I'm going to transition to the second half of my message, which hopefully I can do a little bit better about. I was really nervous about this part of my message, and I sort of was going back and forth on if I should do it even at all. I was like, well, I feel like I have to. So and that's where the Lord was leading me. So if you'll turn to Luke chapter 12, that's where we'll stay for the rest of this message. And I'm hard on myself, just like my grandmother, and I think that last part I could have done a better job explaining those points, but nonetheless, the Lord, I trust that the Lord will add his touch to it, and you guys will get something from that, because it's not me anyways, it has to be from him. So, but Luke chapter 12, that's where we'll spend the rest of our message, looking at pleasure as well. And this kind of mixes in, like I said, with prosperity. Breaking in at verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what should I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said This will I do. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So it is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your own life, what ye shall eat, neither for your body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barns, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, which taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? And I'll just stop there for now. I had on here, continue on to verse 34. In verse 34 is, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And you could put in there, for where your pleasure is, there your heart will be also. If you would want to think of it that way, for as far as this message. And so in verse 18 through 19, the farmer wants to lay back and not work. He wants to use his resources and eat, drink, and be merry. And this leads to destruction. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 4, states, lovers of pleasure rather than God, they will have excuses to miss church. They will choose pleasure over going to church. Often, maybe, we choose pleasure rather than sharing the gospel or doing something we know that we should. We would rather be lazy and choose sin over doing the right thing. I know that I do often. We never have an excuse when fulfilling pleasure. And so you see that whatever it is that you like, and it's not always that pleasure is a bad thing. I talked about at the beginning part of my message about sexual pleasure and things like that, that those can be, sinful and an abomination too, if it's not within marriage, and especially an abomination if it's between, if it's homosexuality. But pleasure could also be just kicking back, watching the ball game, and drinking a beer. It can be. I know for me, I take a lot of pleasure in hunting and fishing, and I've been thinking about that a lot. And a story that I'll share on that is two stories. One, I was in the Bahamas and I went fishing with Gideon Pender, and we woke up, had to wake up before the sun come up, get on the boat, get everything ready, go pick up the bait, riding the boat for an hour to get out to sea, and then to go deep sea fishing. And the whole time I was getting just ate alive by mosquitoes. I mean, it was awful. It was terrible. Gideon was like, well, we can turn around. We don't have to stay out here. It was just me and him. And he was like, we don't have to stay out here. We can go back. I'm like, no, I want to catch some fish. And so the whole time I'm just slapping my arms, getting eaten up, scratching, like blood dripping down my arms from scratching so much. But because I wanted to catch fish so bad, I was willing to stay out there on that boat to catch fish. And you can say that was, I was willing to sacrifice getting eaten alive by mosquitoes to catch some fish. Thankfully, we did catch some fish, and we did have dinner that night, and that was good. My other story is, and Andrew Jones knows this. I don't know if he would remember it, and there was a picture. I tried to look on my phone to find it. I couldn't find it, but I went hunting one morning with Andrew, and he was in one stand, and I was in another one, and I was like, did I get into poison oak or what? Because my face was just itching, because the only part of my body that wasn't covered was my face because it was so cold. And I'm just scratching at my face the whole time. And I texted Andrew once the sun came up, and I'm like, what is going on? And then I realized it was mosquitoes. But I stayed in there the whole time and did not get out of that stand to try to shoot a deer. And that was crazy because I came home, and when I looked in the mirror, it was terrible. I mean, it looked like I had chicken pox, literally. It was terrible. And my grandmother was so frustrated with me. But I went through all of that to try to get what I wanted at the end of all that. And I say that to say, a lot of times, as soon as we face any type of adversity for the Lord, we're ready to hang it up. I know just recently, and you guys, a lot of you guys know this because I've shared with you guys, but just recently I had all these things happen at school, all these accusations, and immediately, what's the first thing that goes through my head? Time to find a new job, because I'm not putting up with this. I'm not having a middle schooler or a high schooler ruin my reputation because of a false accusation. Hang it up. I'm done with these kids. Let's think about looking for a new job. And then in talking to Neil and some of you guys here, I realized, you know what? That's probably not what I need to do. I need to keep doing what I do. I need to keep sharing the gospel with the kids. I need to keep being a light in the school and not be lazy either. So we see here in verse 19, he wants to say to himself, that he, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And that's all pleasure right there. He just wants to be lazy. And like I said, these can kind of intertwine with the other P's that I mentioned. But it's all about himself. And a lot of times we're very self-centered and we're looking for what way we can gain more money, what way we can have more pleasure. Whatever it is. I mean, that's why I said in here, I know a lot of times I'd rather choose sin over the right thing to do. And it might not necessarily always be sin, but when you put that in place over the Lord, then it is. It is a sin. If you haven't read your Bible all day, but you find time to watch the ball game or to go hunting or whatever it is, the beautiful thing for me about hunting is a lot of times, yeah, I get to see creation, and it reminds me, and I reflect on the Lord. But then I've also been hunting days, and I'm up in the tree, and I don't pay any attention to the creation, and I'm scrolling on my phone. And that's where it comes into, you know, the pleasure part of it. You're just sitting there hoping to shoot a deer, and I'm sitting there on my phone, not paying attention to the beautiful creation around me. So I went over those two. Sin and pleasure are interesting, and I challenge you to take a good look at your life and find what in your life is a pleasure that may not be a bad thing. It may be a good thing. That's between you and the Lord and your personal conviction. But why are we willing to suffer so much when it's not for the Lord, but ready to hang it up when we face adversity for the Lord? When you're soul winning for Christ, much like fishing or hunting, etc., it is not about what is easy. It is about being dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ and all that you do. Often, as soon as we face some sort of adversity in our walk with the Lord, we're ready to hang it up and stop pursuing it. Just like Jonah. If you look in the scripture, what was Jonah called to do? He went the exact opposite direction. And a lot of times, just like I share with you guys, with the school, that was the first thing I wanted to do was hang it up. I remember when I got suspended from work, and thankfully the investigation was very short because it was so fake and a hoax or whatever. But I sat down on the couch, and the first thing I pulled up was Indeed to see what jobs were around because I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I know I'm innocent, but like, this is a load of crap, and I don't like this. And it was not easy to deal with. But we have to pursue and continue to push through for the Lord. We would rather feel good now rather than do what is right. It is in our human nature, which will never go away until we are in paradise, like I mentioned in Luke 23, But yes, I would just challenge you guys to hopefully you got something out of this, challenge you to find something in your life that may not be necessarily a sin, like watching a football game or hunting, but just to think about, am I doing these with the right motivation or the right thoughts in my life? And then as far as the broad road and the narrow road goes, we can see that the broad road has many things to offer, and that's why there's a lost and dying world out there that are just going in between all of these things, and they think they're happy until they realize that they don't have what they're looking for, and the world will never have what they're looking for to offer them, and they just keep looking and looking, and it's our job to share the gospel with them. Like my two classmates that committed suicide, and I'm not saying that they weren't saved, but I just know they were looking for the next high or the next fix or the next girl or the next whatever. It's our job as Christians to show them the narrow road and to share the gospel with them. And there at the school, that's what I'm trying to do. I don't always do a good job, and I'll share this story, and I'll end with this. Is at wrestling practice last week, I always do a one-page devotion. And I meant to bring the devotion book, because there was a good devotion in it that I was doing with them that went well with this message. But I forgot to grab it yesterday and all the moving of the mats and chairs and tables. But they were extremely rude, and usually they're pretty good. They usually know, when Coach Garrison's doing his little devotion, just be quiet because it'll be over quick and we can get out of here, right? That's their mindset, I believe. They haven't said that, but this I think it was Wednesday or Thursday this week, and I was sharing the devotion with them, and they were just talking the whole time. They were just talking. And finally I said, you know what, guys? I'm going to just be blunt with you. If you don't care about where you're going to spend eternity, that's fine. You can leave. I said, I'm done. And I shut the book, and about half the team got up and left. And then Oswaldo, one of my wrestlers, he came over to me. He goes, Coach. I said, yes, buddy. And he was like, I want to hear the rest of that devotional, if you don't mind. And everybody had left except for him. And he said, Coach, I want to hear the rest of that devotional, if you don't mind. I'm like, okay. And so he sat down beside me, and I opened it back up. And as I started to read it, three or four more kids came in and sat down and just listened. And then after I was done, they got up, and they said thank you, and they left. And that meant a lot to me. I may not have handled that situation the best, but I was like, you know what? If you guys truly don't care about where you're going to spend your eternity, that's on you guys. I said, I'm trying to keep it short and sweet, but also have an opportunity to share with you guys. And I was like, I'm done. And they left. But it meant a lot that those few came back. And then in mopping the mats, I've had plenty of conversations. I've been having kids stay to help me mop the mats. So I've had conversations with kids at the school about things of the Lord. And Oswaldo is a Catholic. He told me that. And so we've talked through some of those things. The world has a lot of things to offer. The world is, not all of them are necessarily a sin or bad, although some of them are, but the world's got a lot of things that they will try to offer, and it's our job on the narrow road to be bold. And oftentimes, I wrote this down, and I will end with this. We were riding over here this morning, and I went to turn on BBN, and I turned on, what station did I turn on? 95.5? No. Whatever that, it wasn't BBN. And I'm like, whoa, what is this? It wasn't a bad song, but it wasn't BBN. So then I finally turned it back to BBN, and I'm going to have to try to search this song. I don't know what it is, but I got really excited. You could ask Liesl. But in the song, the word was, I sacrifice much to travel on the narrow road. And that was just one of the lines of that song. I don't know the name of the song. I don't know who was singing it. I'm trying to look it up. The closest one I can find to it was, I can't remember that guy's name. I can pull it up and show you on my phone if you want to know afterwards. But as a believer, we should sacrifice much to travel on the narrow road. And it is a sacrifice. You do have to sacrifice many things that are on the broad road to travel on the narrow road, to shine for those that are not believers. I'll let you guys, figure out what that is for you. There's things in my life that I know that I have to sacrifice to travel on the narrow road, to set myself apart from the world. And they can look at you and say, there's something different. But hopefully you guys got something out of this. If not, then that was because you were listening to me and it wasn't from the Lord. But that's what the Lord's laid on my heart. And then moving forward, we still have several more things to look at on the broad road. Hopefully I can put it together a little bit better than I did this time. It's just a personal, I'm too hard on myself. I'm sure it was fine. But I'll go ahead and open it up to the men for any discussion. And then I'll close in prayer. Yeah, I would say definitely having Neil talking to me and say, hey, it's probably, from the devil. He's trying to trip you up. He's trying to get you to, and as Neil said, it's because I'm doing, I'm having an impact and I'm making change, and he doesn't like to see that. So he's going to create adversity to see how you could try to prevent that from happening. Does that answer your question a little bit or make sense? I mean, yeah, for sure. For now, we'll see until the next adversity comes. But yeah, we'll push through. No, I love the kids, so that's what I'm there for. Yes. Yeah, I got excited. I was like, Liesl, this is literally about my message. I was like, I'm speaking on the broad and narrow road. So I got excited about that. I was like, because it went in perfect, and that's why I wanted to end with it, because as believers, we do have to sacrifice much to travel on the narrow road, and that's why I challenge you guys to find what in your life that you need to sacrifice to travel on the narrow road. I know in my life there's a lot of things. And until we are with the Lord in glory, we won't be perfect. There'll be things that we're constantly having to figure out. This is wrong. The more you study the Word, and the more you get in it, the more you realize. Yeah.
You did have one that wanted to hear, and then a couple more people trickle in. It's kind of consistent with what we know is true, which is.
Yeah, I didn't.
The others left, but it's encouraging that it's consistent with.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. That's true. Anything else? Anybody else? All right, I'll go ahead and close us then. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the time of remembrance we had of your Son this morning. Thank you for this message. I just pray that if I said anything, Lord, that wasn't meant to be said, that wasn't from you, Lord, that you would just erase it from their hearts and their minds, Lord. But if I did say something that's from you, Lord, that it would stick with them. And I just pray that as you continue to work on my life, Lord, you would point out things in my life that I need to sacrifice to stop doing or stop using to be boldly on the narrow road and to continue to share the gospel with those at the school. We just thank you for everyone here how much they mean to me here, the brothers and sisters here. Lord, we just pray that you would just give them a good week, and just thank you again for your son. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.